Hello, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome to the Vecima Networks second quarter fiscal 2017 results conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Analysts and institutional investors who wish to join the question queue, simply press star and one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. Presenting today on behalf of Vecima Networks are Sumit Kumar, President and CEO, and John Hanna, CFO. Today's call we'll begin with executive commentary on Vecima's financial and operational performance for the second quarter fiscal 2017. Lastly, the call will finish with a question and answer period for analysts and institutional investors. The press release announcing the company's second quarter fiscal 2017 results, as well as detailed supplemental investor information, are posted on Vecima's website at vecima.com under the Investors heading. The highlights provided in this call should be understood in conjunction with the company's unaudited condensed interim consolidated financial statements and accompanying notes for the 3 months ended December 31st, 2016, which is available on SEDAR or www.vecima.com. Certain statements in this conference call and webcast may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws. All statements other than statements of historical fact are forward-looking statements. These statements include, but are not limited to, statements regarding management's intentions, beliefs, or current expectations with respect to market and general economic conditions, future sales and revenue expectations, future costs and operating performance. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict and or are beyond our control. A number of important factors could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. These factors include, but are not limited to, the current significant general economic uncertainty and credit and financial market volatility, and the distinctive characteristics of Vecima's operations and industry and customer demand that may have a material impact or constitute risk factors in respect of Vecima's future financial performance, as set forth under the heading Risk Factors in the company's annual information form dated September 26, 2016, a copy of which will be available at www.sedar.com. In addition, although the forward-looking statements in this earnings call are based on what management believes are reasonable assumptions, such assumptions may prove to be incorrect. Consequently, attendees should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking statements. In addition, these forward-looking statements relate to the date on which they are made. Vecima disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Kumar to proceed with his remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. The second quarter of fiscal 2017 was a highly productive period for Vecima as we met customer demand for our current products while making significant progress on our next generation platform, Entra, and related products. I'm going to begin today with a brief overview of our achievements. John will follow with our financial review. Then I'll return to talk about our outlook going forward. As you know, a key focus for Vecima in 2017 is development of Entra, our next-generation DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access solution. This new platform is designed to address the specific challenges faced by MSOs who desperately need to add room and power to their hubs and add the bandwidth and technology needed to support customer demand for gigabit internet speeds and IP video across multiple screens. Entra is positioned to be a very strong contender in this market. Its attractive cost-benefit ratio, high Ethernet capacity, full support for legacy digital video, and distributed architecture approach are setting it apart and attracting attention. You may recall we made a significant impression with Entra when we demonstrated it delivering gigabit over DOCSIS 3.1 last fall. In Q2, we pushed forward to finalize design details, incorporate customer feedback, and enter the final development phase as we prepare to initiate lab trials. Feedback from Tier 1 operators remains highly encouraging, and we are on track to initiate lab trials of Entra with a major Tier 1 MSO in the coming months. We expect field trials will commence 6 to 9 months into calendar 2017, and we're targeting first commercial sales starting as early as mid-calendar 2017. One other important piece of news related to Entra is that we now have two related platforms in development that I can share with you. One will add DOCSIS 3.1 remote PHY capability, and the other will add direct 10 gigabit Ethernet fiber-to-the-premise access to the Entra ecosystem. These two new platforms reflect the significant potential to expand the Entra ecosystem into a broader product family with multiple applications. At the same time that we've been making that great progress and strides on Entra, our current products have continued to perform a vital function for our customers. Some of our cable MSO customers are still in the process of completing their digital network conversions. That's a necessary step before they can move on to the newer platforms, and it's driving demand for our current products. We achieved Terrace family sales of $8.7 million in the second quarter, a strong result that reflects healthy demand for our TC600 and TC600E products. We also generated Terrace QAM sales of $6.2 million as a lead MSO customer purchased both new platforms and upgrades through the first half. Our latest enhancement to Terrace QAM, taken together with our earlier transcoding upgrade, is expected to result in continued strength in upgrade-related sales in the second half of fiscal 2017. We are also working on a new variant of Terrace QAM that will allow international operators to access the hospitality HD market, which has been highly successful for MSOs domestically. In the near term, however, we expect both Terrace QAM and Terrace family product sales will ease off in the second half as inventory is drawn down at the lead customer. We could see some recovery thereafter, but I would caution that it could be lumpy. Looking at how some of our other products fared in the second quarter, our OEM return path demodulator had an excellent quarter with renewed activity resulting from network extensions by MSOs. Sales for this product were strong at $2.4 million. And in our telematics segment, we continue to benefit from the addition of the Contigo systems, which has transformed the segment into a contributor of recurring revenue and earnings consistent with Vecima's model. We generated telematics revenue of $1.4 million during the quarter. We also announced some new product extensions in the segment, including the integration of hardware that enables fleet managers to comply with new regulations regarding hours of service. Now, as most of you are aware, subsequent to quarter end, we made another strategic move with the divestiture of our Yearlink business in Saskatchewan. We sold the business for $28.75 million, which was on the high end of our target. The Yearlink sale marks the completion of our strategy to monetize non-core assets. These include excess real estate, radio spectrum, licenses, and most recently, BC Cable and Yearlink. Through each of these steps, we've created significantly greater shareholder value. And strategically, we've ensured our focus going forward will be entirely on growing our core technology businesses. Clearly, we have many opportunities to focus on. So overall, a very productive quarter for Vecima with financial results in line with our expectations. At this point, I'll ask John to review our second quarter results with you in more detail.
Thank you, Sumit. For the purposes of this call, we assume that everyone has seen the news release and financial statements for the fiscal 2017 second quarter that are posted on Vecima's website. I will present the relevant numbers and discussions around overall results, market segments, operational expenses, and the balance sheet. I'll start with consolidated sales. For the 3 months ended December 31st, 2016, we achieved sales of $20.2 million. That was about 18% lower than the same period last year, but similar to the $20.9 million we achieved in Q1 fiscal 2017. In the video and broadband solutions segment, we generated second quarter sales of $18.8 million, which compares to $24.3 million a year ago and $19.5 million in Q1 fiscal 2017. As expected, Terrace Family sales of $8.7 million declined by 20% year over year and reflect lower TC600 and 600E sales this quarter. On a sequential quarterly basis, Terrace sales decreased 4% from Q1 to Q2. Terrace Guam sales of $6.2 million were down 29% year over year, reflecting a slowdown in our lead customer purchasing new platforms as their inventory is drawn down. As Sumit mentioned, sales of our OEM return path demodulator were strong at $2.4 million, with renewed activity resulting from network expansion by the MSOs, such as taking fiber closer to homes. While as anticipated, Digital Video Access Platform, DVAP, did not generate sales in the second quarter, we are now nearing completion of a software upgrade that prepares the platform to support distributed access architecture. Based on discussions with our OEM customer, we expect that later in calendar 2017, this upgrade should increase the pace of DVAP deployment at MSOs as they prepare for distributed access architecture, which cannot be supported by legacy devices. Turning to our telematics segment, sales in the quarter increased significantly to $1.4 million, reflecting the positive impact of the Contigo acquisition in the current year. Sequentially, telematics sales in Q2 fiscal 17 were up 5% from Q1. Our gross margin for the second quarter of fiscal 2017 was 52%, down from 54% last year, but consistent with the 52% we achieved in Q1 of this year. The year-over-year result change in gross margin reflects lower overall sales and also reflects the impact of a weakening in the U.S. dollar relative to the Canadian dollar year-over-year and some change in product mix. R&D expenses increased to $2.9 million, or 14% of sales, from $2.4 million, or 10% of sales last year. This increase reflects the ramp-up in investment to support the launch of new products, including our new Entra platform and related products. As always, I note the reported R&D expense in a period is typically different than the actual expenditure. That's because certain R&D expenditures are deferred until products are in commercial development. Adjusting for deferrals, amortization of deferred development costs, and income tax credits, actual R&D investment for the second quarter increased to $5.3 million, or 26% of sales, from $3.7 million, or 15% of sales a year ago. This increase reflects investment for subcontracting, staffing, and prototyping costs in support of new product development, as well as the addition of R&D expenses related to the new Contigo operations that we did not have in the same period last year. Turning to second quarter sales and marketing expenses, they increased modestly to $1.2 million from $1.1 million a year ago. This was mostly due to the addition of Contigo operations. General and administrative expenses increased to $2.4 million from $2.0 million in the same period last year, also reflecting the addition of expenses related to Contigo operations. As expected, the combination of increased investment in our business in a transition year for our products resulted in lower second quarter operating income of $3.9 million. This compares to the $7.7 million we generated last year. On a sequential quarterly basis, operating income was down a modest $0.3 million compared to Q1. Second quarter adjusted EBITDA was $7.4 million compared to $10.1 million last year, reflecting lower gross profit and higher operating costs during the current period. Looking at net income for the second quarter, we generated earnings of $3.8 million, or 17 cents per share, which was down compared to $6.5 million, or 29 cents per share, in Q2 last year. This reflects all of the factors I've just discussed. Turning to the balance sheet, we ended the second quarter with cash and short-term investments of $76.6 million. Keep in mind that this does not include proceeds from the sale of Yorlink, which occurred after the quarter end. Balance sheet items associated with Yorlink have been classified as assets and liabilities held for sale. finally, cash flow from continuing operations, excluding non-working capital changes, remained strong at $6.1 million in the second quarter. Overall, our results for the quarter aligned with our expectations, and we're moving forward in a very strong financial position. Now back to Sumit.
Thank you, John. From the outset of this fiscal year, we've talked about 2017 being a transition year as we develop our next generation platforms in preparation for the industry evolution to DOCSIS 3.1. Keep in mind that 2017 results will also now reflect the divestiture of the Eurolink business. Based on that sale and on our current visibility into customer demand, we've updated our outlook for fiscal 2017. Our guidance now anticipates sales in the range of $73.5 million to $81.5 million, gross margins in the range of 51% to 54%, and adjusted EBITDA in the range of $20.75 million and $25.75 million. While our anticipated financial results will not match the record levels we achieved in fiscal 2016, our confidence in Vestima's future has never been higher. We're developing the right technology for the industry change to gigabit-class IP-driven networks through Entra and other platforms. We expect to have two of these new platforms commercially available in the second half of calendar 2017. We also have a proven product portfolio of current products that continue to generate revenue and profit for us, as well as some new variations of these products in the works. Our telematics business provides a number of growth opportunities, both organically and in terms of M&A opportunities in the segment. And we are exceptionally well positioned to pursue our strategies with a pristine balance sheet and significant assets. These include nearly $77 million in cash, which will rise to over $105 million once we add the proceeds from the Eurolink sale. That's about $4.70 per share in cash. Vestima's future continues to look very exciting, and we look forward to telling you more about our progress through the balance of 2017. That concludes our formal comments for today. We'd now be happy to take questions. Operator?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts and institutional investors who would like to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone to indicate you're in queue. For participants using a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. There will be a brief moment while we poll for questions. The first question comes from David Kwan with PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Morning, David.
Good morning, David.
I was wondering, I'm just talking, looking at, first off on the revenue side, looking at tariffs and TQ. Based on the TQ side, the sales were weaker than what we expected, and I think on the last call you talked about the Q2 levels being in line with Q1, so I was curious as to what happened there. Was it just kind of lack of visibility, similar to, the, I guess, part of the reason why the top end of the revenue guidance was brought down?
Yeah, I think generally, you know, David, as we said with many of our product lines and our customers said, we are quite exposed to timing variation and lumpiness as it is, and that, you know, we would say is certainly a factor in how Q2 looked versus Q1. You know, we did see again in Q1 a sharp recovery from the low in Q4, but you know, we are exposed still to that lumpiness. You know, overall, you know, the upgrades in addition to the platforms are performing very strongly. You know, in Q2 and beyond. So, you know, Q3, 4, taken collectively, you know, with upgrades continuing and that inventory drawdown in the new platforms, we're still looking at the full year as hitting that 85 to 90% fiscal 16 level.
Okay, and I guess maybe looking out over the next 4 quarters, let's say, because you did provide some color on kind of what you expect for the second half of this fiscal year. Like, do you see these two product families in particular, kind of the revenues being flattish, where the upgrade opportunity is kind of offsetting the headwind from your lead customers moderation in order flow?
Yeah, I think we're seeing that the transition is well upon us, and you know, we're headed towards that
you know, it's implied in our outlook, $18 million per quarter range in the short to midterm, from you know, led by the Terrace and Terrace Qualm, of course, as we've had in the last several quarters. So we're well into the mix of the transition, you know, and we do see that continuing for some time. You know, it's with the new next generation platforms, Entra and these other two that I've started talking about today, that we expect to pull back up from that level.
For fiscal 18, you guys expect to see revenue growth then?
That's where we're headed, and it's going to be, you know, driven by the next generation platform, certainly, and that's how we're looking at it.
Okay. As it relates to the DVAP offering, can you kind of talk about how you expect that to ramp up? It sounds like it's kind of a second half of this calendar year where you expect to start to see some revenues.
Yeah, so a few things are happening there that we've shed some light on in the last few calls, but get into a bit more detail now. You know, again, in Q4 last year, we completed the contract side of that deal with the OEM customer, and concluded with a large shipment in Q4. We did expect that would carry them for some time as they roll it out into the cable MSOs. You know, what's happening today is that we're, as John mentioned, working on a software upgrade to the platform that's going to come out very soon. And that prepares that platform in a way for support for distributed access architecture. We've talked a lot about distributed access architecture being paramount as operators go to DOCSIS 3.1. So this upgrade will let the DVAP platform be capable of playing nicely with distributed access architecture, so it makes it a mandatory platform. So we see that as a catalyst for that inventory being pulled down. It's still, you know, difficult to predict when we might see. We're observing that closely. When we might see new platform sales ramp up, there will be software upgrades happening somewhere around mid this year for the existing inventory, and then from there, you know, it's a matter of how fast distributed rolls out. Thereby driving that inventory down and out, and the new platforms coming.
You look at, I guess, the prior hardware contract was US $19 million, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would the related software upgrade opportunity be? And it obviously would be much higher margin, but just trying to quantify, you know, on a contract of that size, what would the software revenue opportunity be for you on that upgrade?
Yeah, it's not particularly significant for the inventory. You know, what's going to happen is, you know, that inventory, we could say, is being, as we upgrade it with the new software, we could see, you know, on the order of up to 10% of that contract value coming from the software upgrades at 100% margin, of course. You know, and we are, you know, once new platforms start to emerge again, then we're looking at a price uplift to reflect, you know, the new software being embedded in new platforms. So it's a small uptick on upgrading the inventory with the software, and then, you know, an ASP increase as new platforms are rolled out.
Okay. And you know, on the RPD side, you said the coverage is near 100%.
Right.
You know, what do you see, like, where is that for DVAP, so we can try to get a better sense of what the opportunity ahead was, both on the hardware, I guess, on the software side?
Yeah, that's a great comparison, David, and one that we look at quite a bit. You know, all told, on that Return Path DMARD product, we've likely done, you know, it's been some time since I've looked at it, $120 million in sales. And, you know, we see these two platforms as being tied, you know, with the Return Path demodulator on one side with about half the set-top boxes out there, and the DVAP with the other half of the set-top boxes deployed. But the difference is that we're at a different stage, you know, in the network evolution than we were with the Return Path demodulator. You know, in that we've talked about this transition to IP set-top boxes and whatnot that's happening. So that pulls back from what we were able to achieve with the Return Path demodulator, which started in 2006. So, you know, overall, we would say that, you know, we've already shipped that 19 million, and you know, we think that the bookends of the potential are between 28 million to 40 million for that market, depending on how fast those set-top boxes are evolved out of the network.
there'll be 28 to 40 left after that 19 million shipment? And would that also include, I guess, the software adjustment, or is that kind of on an apples-to-apples basis?
Yeah, and that 28, I should clarify, 28 to 40 million is overall including what we've shipped. So, you know, on the low side, it could be quite well covered, and on the high side, we're looking at doubling it. And sorry, what was your second question there, David?
Just wondering whether, because you talked about with the software upgrade, that the price would go up to reflect that. So I was just wondering whether that number that you threw out, 28 to 40, would just be purely on kind of the hardware, excluding the software upgrade.
I don't think we've looked at that much granularity, but I would say, you know, in the ballpark, maybe it could get lifted a little bit with the software.
Okay. Moving on to Entra, these two new families, I guess, that you're working on, would that expand your addressable market?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So, you know, I think, David, for competitive reasons, we're not ready to say much more about these products than we've said in the financial package, but, you know, what I want to highlight is that we view it as highly favorable with respect to our entry into the market, that and, you know, the elegance of our design, that we're already branching out towards new platforms within the Entra family, and that's based on customers identifying new adjacent needs. So, as you can imagine, that's quite exciting for us and really strong reinforcement that we made some good design decisions. So, you know, if we break it down into what the two are, one is this DOCSIS from 05 variant, you know, and we should look at that as enhancing our reach within the distributed access architecture market for DOCSIS 3.1, so more broadly serving the overall DOCSIS market, which we've said is 1 to 1.5 billion annually, of which we're targeting the 30% business services vertical. So we know that certain segments of the overall market, meaning customer deployments, will see this variant, this remote PI variant, as being the right fit versus what we started with in Entra. So by adding that into the portfolio, you know, we're addressing a larger portion of the broad market. You know, and turning to the second one, it's tied to gigabit broadband services in the commercial or business services vertical, and it's following a fiber-to-the-premises architecture. You know, we've said that the business services vertical is very core to Vecima's positioning, and that's certainly our target segment on the DOCSIS side for coax. What this new platform does there is, you know, enhance the overall Entra architecture to address the fiber-to-the-premise side of broadband internet service to businesses. So that can be looked at as being a new and adjacent market.
Sounds good. And was it your lead, I guess, the Tier 1 MSO that you're soon going to be going into the labs with, was it them that was driving this this demand, or was it another MSO?
I don't think I want to get into that much granularity, David. I think that, you know, it is, these platforms are driven by Tier 1 MSOs one way or another.
I was just trying to get a sense, because you've talked about, obviously, one of them that you're about to go into the labs with.
Yes.
To what other commitments you might have from other Tier 1s in terms of getting your Entra platform into their labs?
Yeah, what I can say is across these three products, this reach is beyond one Tier 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how do you expect the revenue to ramp here? Like, I'm just trying to get a sense of what the magnitude could be, like, for example, into fiscal 18.
So can you repeat that, David?
I was just trying to get a sense of how the revenue ramps here for
right.
Entra, especially looking out into fiscal 18. Like, how significant could it be? Is it, you know,
yeah.
You know, 10 million in revenues? Is it 20 plus million in revenues? Like, do you have a sense of, you know, what the opportunity could be?
Yeah, and again, we're talking about our target segment as being 300 to 450 million a year. You know, we do think the 2017 calendar is still a prep year for the MSOs to ramp up, and, you know, for DOCSIS 3.1 as a whole, distributed architecture potentially being a bit behind the start of DOCSIS 3.1. So it's a bit challenging to predict how fast of a ramp we could see. You know, there's a significant amount of 3.1 activity coming. It's going to ramp towards the end of the calendar year and into calendar 2018. You know, we've talked about being into trials this year, so you know, we could see things drive quickly, but it's really difficult to say.
Okay. In terms of how the revenue, like a kind of software versus hardware mix and your gross margins, can you comment on that?
Yeah, so it's something on the mix, you know, whether we sell it as pure hardware or hardware with licensed software, that's still under development. I think the market is still evaluating how that's going to go. And that'll be driven by the customers and the competitors and what approach is taken there. We have seen in DOCSIS that there's this general sense in the last 5 to 10 years of having an initial hardware purchase, initial capacity purchase, followed by licensing up when the capacity ramps up. So we think if things stay status quo, that may be that blend that we see going on here.
You expect the gross margins to be similar to kind of your Terrace and TQ family?
Yeah, I think we're feeling comfortable with that. I do think that if volumes really ramp up in distributed architecture, you know, we could be driving the margins a bit lower on a per unit basis, but you know, with the volume, that'll take care of itself.
Okay. I'll jump back in the queue. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
Once again, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Ole Pragel, independent investor. Please go ahead.
Ole, are you there?
Percentage of future sales, say, for the next couple of years, do you believe is to the U.S.? And part of that question would be also be about the possible border tax, if you feel that that's going to be significant to Vesima.
Sure, well, I think I caught most of your question. I think there's a bit of a hiccup there technically. I didn't hear the first part. You're muted, but I heard the U.S. versus international contribution of sales and also this potential impact on the macroeconomics. So, you know, Vesima's business historically, as you know, has been very focused on domestic markets, the Terrace Quam, and legacy products beyond that. That's still early on is our focus for next generation platforms. We do see that next generation has, particularly Entra, of course, has a very global reach, so we're certainly anticipating to grow our reach there into outside of North America. So that's a factor that we're considering with next generation. So I think with respect to what's happening with taxation and whatnot, it's you know, I think we have to let it play out and work on it from there. You know, we compete first and foremost by being excellent. We can be flexible based on the situation that arises. And, you know, our Canadian manufacturing is set up the way it is because it's the most efficient way to produce our products. And if any of these macroeconomic and trade circumstances change significantly, we'll really be able to adapt to remain, you know, at the most efficient approach.
Okay. Sounds fair. Thanks.
Thanks, Lloyd.
The next question is from David Kwan with PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. A few more questions. You're talking about the product, I guess, for TQ product that will allow you to expand internationally, I guess. I think it was related to a new chipset that you guys are using. Can you comment on the timing of the launch, I guess, and, you know, kind of your go-to-market strategy? Are you looking to build up the sales team, or are you planning to work through channel partners?
Yeah, I think that's a good one, dude. What, in terms of timing of product, we're coming close. You know, it could happen in the next few months there in terms of availability of that platform. But again, with the usual caveats around development, R&D uncertainty, the way we're looking at that to start with is we do have a couple of lead MSOs in mind. So that's kind of our classical approach to market, which has led us to this point of committing the project and getting very close to having the product ready. I think from there, we have this representative use case internationally, in Europe in particular it is actually, that we'd like to broaden out beyond that specific opportunity in Europe. Hospitality, HD generally, like we've said, hasn't been dealt with in a large scale by MSOs outside of North America, so we think there's opportunity there, as reflected in this first lead customer we have. So we would build out from there, support it from our domestic operations to start with, and then look at having presence in the market.
For lead, these are kind of direct sales opportunities that you guys have generated as opposed to working through any potential partners?
They are direct, correct.
Okay, perfect. A couple other things. From a gross margin perspective, the gross margins are, I guess, now post Yorlink in the low 50% range. What's it going to take for the gross margin to get potentially back into the mid 50s-ish range or maybe in the high 50s? I know Yorlink was a higher margin business, but I'm kind of curious as to if that's possible to get back to what you'd seen historically.
So, I mean, one thing that's of course organic is if revenue ramps up, we've got certain fixed base of operating costs in our manufacturing that aren't going to expand linearly as the volume ramps up in next generation, so that could help us on the growth line there for one. We are moving more to software. Part of your earlier question was kind of this mix of hardware and software margins for Entra, and I talked a bit about licensing approaches and whatnot. So that creates some opportunity to enhance the margin approach there. On the other hand, we are going into a high volume segment, and that kind of a tendency to, as a percentage, pull back on the gross margin, but lead to very healthy bottom line performance if the volume is there.
A few more questions. In terms of the use of cash, Yorlink sale obviously bolsters it quite significantly. Dividend wasn't raised this quarter. Can you talk about capital deployment, capital allocation? Historically, I think you guys have done a special dividend on the back of kind of material asset sales. Is that something that's still under consideration, or are you maybe holding it back to more aggressively pursue acquisitions?
Yeah, David, I'm not sure, aside from some coincidental timing, that we necessarily look at our past special dividends as being directly tied to asset monetization. In this case, with the Yorlink sale, and our view there is that while it had been somewhat divergent from our core technology businesses, it was really a strongly producing asset with over $10 million in recurring revenue annually, and driving towards $4 million EBITDA with growth potential with that network upgrade that we were working on there. So our intent at this point is to replace and enhance the performance, but bring it within the core of our businesses. So our strategy today is really focused on organic technology and product development, and on the one hand, and then on the other hand, of course, M&A. So those two, hold the highest potential for us and where we're focusing our use of capital.
And then as it relates to the telematics business, is that something that you're looking to really scale, or, I think you've talked about in the past, looking at acquisitions, the multiples have been quite high, which is hindering, I guess, your ability to make some accretive acquisitions. Is it something where you might be willing to sell into what seems to be a seller's market at this point?
I think our view there is that the valuations becoming attractive have a lot to do with scale. In terms of exiting, I'm not sure that we're feeling we're at a point where we've reached a scale where we can attract that kind of valuation. And then it goes to scale on the other side when we're looking to buy as well. Certainly the representative deals are being referenced by people. It makes things a bit more challenging, but we still think once the dust settles a bit that, you know, with the smaller players that we can still act as a strong consolidator and build our scale.
So I guess, are you seeing the valuations improve for some of the smaller guys that you might look to roll up?
Yeah, I think it's starting to come back down to reality, yes.
Final question. I guess you provide some color on the CRA tax ruling. Can you talk about, are you expecting any material costs going forward and the timeline, I guess, for a final decision or ruling on your expected appeal?
Yeah, I'll take that one, David. Material costs, I would say no. In getting to this point, we've incurred some costs in getting advice and advancing our case forward. Timing of the ruling is very difficult to predict. It really is now largely out of our hands and will be driven in timing by the CRA. Assignments of officers can happen quickly or take the better part of a year. It's a pretty undefined timeline at this point, but it could be possibly well over a year before we know what's going on. We do feel comfortable in our position.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
This concludes time allocated for today's questions. This concludes the conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a good day.